Today on Real Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible told you 2,000 years ago, watch out! There's another Jesus that's going to be preached. And the world is in no lack of variants that go by the same name only, and that is Jesus. But do you have the biblical Jesus?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're in a mini-series that looks at the first four verses of chapter 11. It's a passage that includes a warning to believers not to be led astray as the serpent deceived Eve, says the text. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in this multi-part series called With This Mind.
Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, so listen, snakes talked in those days. Don't ask me how. I don't know. I wasn't there. But Satan used opportunity to use this talking animal. Weird, freaky thing. Watch this. A, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now her mind starts going. How do we know? Because verse 2, she says, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, infusion, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman, watch her fall, saw that the tree was good for food, what changed her view of the tree? Did the tree change shape? No. Did she get different eyeballs all of a sudden? No. Are you listening? By infusion of the enemy into her thought processes, she saw the tree different. She saw it in light of, hey, God must be withholding something from me. Something good. Because she says, she understands now in her thinking, the tree was good for food. She's in paradise. And now she's thinking something's deficient. Secondly, I want this. I want this. How do we know that? Because it was pleasant to the eyes. Listen, there's nothing you want that's not pleasant to your eyes. If it's pleasant to your eyes, you want it. Isn't that interesting? What do you think Madison Avenue does what it does? And then thirdly, she sees an opportunity to not only become better. Listen, she thinks she needs to become better. She thinks there's a deficiency. She can even become great, because that's what's wrapped up in the package of it's desirable to make one wise. Guess who that one was she was talking about? Herself. Thirdly, look at this. Determining to finish in verse 3. With this mind, you and I today, church, need to determine to finish our Christian course. And it is going to be, can I use words like this? It is going to be explosive. It is going to be violent. It is going to be tough. It is going to be demanding. It is going to be hard, because you and I are living in an age of increasing darkness. Look around. Do I have to remind you of what's happening in our own community, in our own state, in our own nation, in the world? Things are out of control. And are you going to hold ground? Are you going to stand for what is right? Some of you in this room, I have a fear. You won't. You'll give up. It's going to be too hard. I just can't do it. I'm weary. I'm tired of standing alone. We are never standing alone. And when we are tired, he's built in that promise to us. when we have no more strength, when we are at our end and we don't think the marriage can be fixed, or this kid of mine will ever turn around, or my parents will ever listen to the gospel, or this county or this state or this nation will ever turn back to God, that's when the Bible says, in that weakness of yours, Jack, I will be your strength. We win even when we feel like we're losing. We need to remember this, determining to finish. And that's why we need each other in fellowship. Be careful. Don't stop being part of a church, part of a local church. Don't be like a little bee. I've noticed right now in my backyard, we got bees all over the backyard. Why? Because we've got blooms all over the backyard. What's going on? And then what do they do? Does a bee show up to one flower and stay there all day? No, they go from flower to flower to flower to flower. And why do they do that? Because they're bees. But never was that said of a Christian. A lot of Christians are like bees. They go from church to church to church to find out who the latest guest speaker is and who the visiting musical band is. And are they going to have juggling that week, or somebody's going to, do a card trick? Oh, I'm going to go to that church. You know what? It's time to grow up. Plant yourself in a church and serve in that body of Christ. No matter where you go, just go there and stay there and serve. Don't be like a bee. That's one of Satan's tricks. Just keep you flying around. And listen, a lot of people that are just flying around often have comments like this. I'm looking for a church. And when I find the church, the right church, I'll be there. Well, what are you looking for? I'm looking for a great church, a really good church. Okay, that's fantastic. But when you find it, just keep moving on. Because if that's your conduct, you'll make a great church not so great if you stay there. Determined to finish. He says, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Two words you ought to check out there. The word corrupted and simplicity. These are powerful things. Corrupted, the word is polluted. It means also to have a virus or a germ set upon you, and it spreads. You ever have something happen to you and it just keeps spreading? There's something in the water in Baja, California. Maybe you've seen it on the news, in the Sea of Cortez. It's invisible, and it's a flesh-eating virus that's in the water. And it's getting on fish and whales and now fishermen. They can't stop it. Invisible until it starts to show the consuming powers upon your flesh. Starts out invisibly. The word corrupted here, it's an invisible beginning. And what is its intent? To pull you away from the simplicity that's in Jesus Christ. And what is the simplicity? I may shock you. Simplicity. You ever feel like your Christianity is complicated? I do. And sometimes I get into the business of chasing my own tail. I start to get stressed out. I start thinking like this. Listen, do you ever get like this, or is it just me? I don't pray enough. And in my mind, I start saying, I need to pray longer and harder. Doesn't that sound noble? It's an absolute affront to God because it's the wrong motive for praying. Oh, you know what? I haven't led anybody to Christ in a few weeks. I need to go witness. Absolutely an abomination to Christ. Wrong motive. But Pastor, those are good things. Wrong motive. It's all about the motive. It's why I'm doing what I'm doing. And am I doing it to just finish, or am I doing it to stand before Jesus? Am I doing it to be approved by people, or am I doing it to be approved by God in the end? It's vitally important. So I wrote some things down. These are just thoughts of mine. If they mean something to you, then wonderful. Listen, it's not you and I knowing all about Jesus. I won't mention names. There's a popular university not far from here, Christian University, with unbelieving professors in some of them. They're professors because they're great learned men. But to their own words, they've said, I'm not born again. And yet they know more about Jesus than you and I do. It's not knowing more about Jesus. It's about knowing Jesus. Do you know Jesus? See, the simplicity, the answer is simplicity. You see, what are you saying? This is simply it. Do you want to be with Jesus? Can you imagine living in a house, in a home, and not knowing the people living in it? You say, well, I have that kind of a marriage. Some people live in homes like that. That's not the kind of home God wants to have. He wants to know you and you to know him on such a level that there's constant, effortless communion, communication. I know this temptation. I battle it all the time about, okay, I need to do this. I need to be like this. I need to, and all, listen, when I calm down, this is what I hear Jesus saying to me. Jack, just be with me. Let's take a walk. Jack, just be with me. Talk to me. Draw the curtains. I have to get on my knees. I have to pray. Jesus says, why don't you just talk to me all the time? And that will be prayer. Just practice my presence. Just take me everywhere you're going, Jack. The simplicity of Christ is this. That he is in you. As a believer, don't let anybody steal that from you. Don't let some legalist come up and say, well, the only way that you can keep your salvation is if you do these things. That's corruption. Dressed exactly how you expect Satan to dress it up, in religiosity. There is nothing more powerful than for you and I to follow God because we just love him. Nothing greater. Well, I want to love him. Good. Then realize this is where it all begins. He says, listen, you love me, Jack, because I first loved you. That's what the Bible teaches. Did you know that? So here's the cool thing. How do you love God more? By revelation, understanding, by revealing to you as you're in his word that he says, I love you. And when you understand he loves you, all the shackles are broken. You can't stop talking about him. Well, I have to talk about him. I'm supposed to talk about him. Forget that, my dear friend. You need to experience Jesus. The simplicity is living with Jesus. Listen, when the apostles started to shake Jerusalem and turn it upside down, do you remember what the criticism was by the Pharisees? Oh, look at those unlearned men. Did you notice what they said? Look at those ignorant Galileans who never got out of the third grade. Listen to them. Where'd they get that wisdom? Then they said, they've been with Jesus. Oh, would to God that that's our label in the community. Hey, that church, they've been with Jesus. There's nothing better than that. There's nothing greater than that. God wants time, conversation, relaxation. He wants unity with you that way. And anything that complicates that, it's not of God. We need to be careful, my friends, of the Martha syndrome. You know Martha, Martha and Mary. If you're not aware of it, you can grab your Bibles or mark it down. It's Luke chapter 10. This is good stuff, man, because this is 21st century warning. Luke chapter 10, verse 31, it says, now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Now pause right there. You know there's magazines and websites like Country Living or Southern Living, Better Homes and Gardens. What are some of the, you know, the magazines of how to, it's summertime and they always show the backyard with all the candles and the flowers and the food. It's funny, all this food is on the table and there's nobody sitting there. It's like the rapture just happened before they took the picture. But if you know what I'm talking about, and it's all about having a presentation. And I appreciate that. The lighting's just right, and the breeze is just right. And there's a thing when you have somebody over, it's a welcoming thing. Martha, can you imagine what kind of welcome she had made for Jesus? It had to be awesome. Falafel, shawarma, hummus, tabbouleh. Oh my goodness, it's everywhere. Perfect. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. This is cool because you know what it implies? It implies that Jesus just wasn't coming by for the first time. Jesus had a tendency to come by that area. And when he did, you could always find Mary sitting at his feet listening to him teach. It also implies you could always find Martha not sitting at his feet while he taught. Where was she? In the kitchen. Verse 40 says, but Martha was distracted. Listen to this. The word in Greek is tugged or pulled in many directions. Sound familiar? She's distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, listen to this, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So now, look at this, man. She's so wound up, so tightly wound, she's attacking God in her own house. Therefore, tell her, now she's the Lord, tell her to help me. Listen, when you're pulled in every direction, that's exactly what you and I say too. She's grumpy. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, look what he said. Martha, does he say it once? He had to go, Martha. Martha! You are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. You need to hear that, church. We need to hear that again. If you want to do something for God, go be with God. Don't go do something for God. Go be with God and then let it happen. The prevention against spiritual complexity or busyness is found in 2 Peter. What's the cure? 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 5 says, but also for this very reason, watch this progression. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's awesome. And then third and final point is this. Stronger faith, spiritual discernment. We'll see how far we get with this one, verse 4. For if he who comes, watch this, verse 4 tells us, preaches another Jesus. Can you circle another and Jesus there? Whom we have not preached. Stop right there. Identifying counterfeits. Listen, stronger faith. I don't know how to stress this enough. Dear family of God, this morning, the stronger your faith is. And remember, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. Your faith is being strengthened right now with every verse I give you. Look at this. Stronger faith leads to spiritual discernment. This is lacking in the body of Christ today. How is that lived out? Identifying the counterfeits. If you have strong faith, if you have great faith, you'll be able to sniff out false brothers. Did you know there's false brothers? Did you know that in the church there's false brethren? Did you know that there's false believers? In a church, Satan will see to it. So listen, we need this big time. Churches today are being told things by leaders who call themselves pastors or speakers or executive whatevers, and they're speaking words, and they're cool and hip or happy or funny, whatever it might be, and people are swallowing it hook, line, and sinker, and it's not biblical, but it's wrapped in a very, very cool, sugar-coated thing, and people are going, oh, that was awesome. No discernment. Discernment is, listen, applying the word of God to the everyday thing of life. Discernment, not your own feelings and thoughts. Listen, if I apply my own feelings and thoughts to your life, imagine this. If it's up to me, what if I don't like you? I don't want to talk to you. What if I don't like you? I want to even be mean to you. Are you with me? It's up to me now. Does the Bible say that I'm to make decisions based or up to me? No. What if I don't like you? What if I don't like you? What does the Bible say? Exactly. I'm to love you anyway. If I don't like you, I'm supposed to wash your feet. If I don't like you, I'm supposed to give you the biggest slice of the pie. If I don't like you, you can have my fish tacos. That's how much I love God, that if I don't like you, I give you my fish tacos. Think of it. This is Christianity. And then the next thing God says is, okay, now that you gave them your fish tacos, I want you to come over here, Jack. Come. Ask me for my love for them to be lived out in you. All right, God, because I really don't like them. They drive me nuts. I cringe every time I see them coming. They drive me crazy. I need your love for them. God says, thank you. And God will be in my obedience to his word, doctrine. He will put divine love in my heart for people that I didn't like previously. It's a miracle. That's why Christians love their enemies. The greatest thing that can happen to you in this life, if you're not a Christian, is to have Christians who don't like you. Because Christians who do not like you are under orders by their Lord and Savior Jesus to love you. The non-believer should be the happiest person running around this planet because Christians love them. That will drive them nuts, by the way. That is the reward we get, is our love for them, because we don't like them, is wrapped up in Jesus, and it will drive them crazy. Follow that one, and you'll be a free, set free person. It's amazing. Identify counterfeits. The word here, another, means this: something else, someone else, something different, a replacement. The word means something other than the real. If you're following, for example, a different Jesus, you have no salvation. If you're following a different Jesus, another Jesus, listen, you have no forgiveness of your sins. If you're following a different Jesus, you have no heaven. The Bible says, and I'll just put three verses together. This is awesome. You'll have to write it down. It's Acts 4:12, 1 Timothy 2:5, Philippians 2:10. Acts 4:12, 1 Timothy 2:5, and Philippians 2:10. Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, that is the man Christ Jesus. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's what the Bible says about who the real Jesus is. The Bible warns us right here that there's another Jesus being preached. Did you know that? We're going to look, the next time we get together in this passage, we are going to challenge and question the Jesus that you and I claim to believe in versus the Jesus of Islam, for example. Don't let anyone tell you they're the same. We are going to look at the Bible Jesus in light of the Jehovah Witness Jesus. Don't let anybody tell you they're the same. And we're going to do that to the Jesus of Judaism. We'll do that to the Jesus of Mormonism. We'll do that to the Jesus of the cults compared to the biblical Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible told you 2,000 years ago, watch out! There's another Jesus that's going to be preached. And the world is in no lack of variants that go by the same name only, and that is Jesus. But do you have the biblical Jesus? The one who died on the cross for your sins, and for which effort you can add nothing to that. That in full surrender to the understanding that God was there incarnate, dying on the cross for your sins. That he rose again from the grave to justify you. And that he ascended back up into heaven from whence he came to guarantee your salvation. That faith in him and him alone grant you eternal life. That truth changes your life. Whereby you get up from this seat or any seat you occupy, and you're passionate about living your life for the glory of God. Do you know him like that?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson taken from the first four verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. It's called With This Mind, part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse series through this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, have you had a chance to sign up for Pastor Jack's weekly devotionals? They're called Real Life Devotions, and you'll find a new Real Life Devotion in your inbox every Monday. Evidently, a whole bunch of Real Radio listeners who subscribe to Real Life Devotions really enjoy them and really appreciate them, and they're letting us know all about it. Here's what Tony wrote. I am blessed every time I read Pastor Jack's Real Life Devotions and hear his messages. May our Lord continue to use him and his church to spread the gospel message of Jesus Christ our Lord, praying for a great and mighty outpouring of the Spirit on his bride, the church. In Jesus Christ, may the Lord richly bless your hearts and souls. Isn't that great? Thank you, Tony. Appreciate you sending that in. Subscribe to Pastor Jack's Real Life Devotions. Visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org. If you need to get in touch with us by phone, here's that number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.